We will move to the proposed final audit report on Mike Brown for Indiana, number A19-02, which has been held over from a previous meeting of the agenda. Mr. Krogan?
Mr. Chairman?
Please take us away, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Before you is the proposed final audit report of the Audit Division on Mike Brown for Indiana, which circulated to the Commission on May 13th. The findings consist of finding one, misstatement of financial activity, finding two, failure to file 48-hour notices, finding three, disclosure of occupation and or name of employer, finding four, receipt of apparent prohibited contributions, loans, and finding five, disclosure of memo entries and candidate loans. The additional issues consist of issue one, receipt of contributions in excess of the limit, and issue two, prohibited candidate personal loan repayments. We are available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Colleagues? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an unusual audit. I cannot recall another instance where we had a situation audit. There was a Supreme Court opinion that was pending that had the potential to affect one of the findings, one of the proposed findings. And I completely understand that my colleagues were exceedingly sensitive to not tread on either the possibility of that Supreme Court opinion coming down or the existing district court opinion that addressed these issues and was not stayed at the time that we considered the ADRM. But subsequent to the ADRM, we received an analysis from the Audit Division, which the Commission did not have in front of us at the time. We didn't have this detailed breakdown, which I have put for the Commission as as an agenda document today. We didn't have this detailed breakdown that the Audit Division has prepared that lays out what the actual impact of the, at that time, the expected cruise decision, which has now become the actual cruise decision, what the impact of that would be on this particular proposed finding on excessive contributions. And as it turns out, there are $732,429 in excessive contributions remaining after the cruise issue is completely taken off the table. So without intruding in any way on that decision and acknowledging that decision, there's still $732,429 in excessive contributions. And as I said, we didn't have the details at the time of the ADRM. We didn't have the breakdown of the dollar figure. And I think because of that unusual situation, we should at this point include a finding on those excessive contributions. I think it would be irresponsible to ignore over $700,000 in excessive contributions. So although it is, I acknowledge it is unusual to be making a motion to add a finding at this point in the process. I've checked with our lawyers and they tell us it's it is permissible to do so. I've checked with our auditors and I encourage them to weigh in. I believe they would support adding this finding. So at the appropriate time, I am going to make a motion to try to do that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Traynor.
Thank you. This question for counsel. This proposal by Commissioner Weintraub to add a finding at this point, has the Braun committee or anybody associated with it had the opportunity to review it? Would we have any comments from them? Have they been able to check the math and the numbers associated with it? And would that be appropriate for us to do at this time?
I'm not aware that the proposed motion has been presented to the Braun committee. I would ask Jessica or Larry to weigh in on the additional.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Council.
Thank you. I would note that I don't understand that I believe that they were forwarded the document that was made public. I also would note that the substance of the motion that is being discussed, the potential motion, was it's in essence a subpart of what had previously been proposed finding 5, which had also been forwarded to the committee at the earlier stage.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Mr. Trainer?
So we don't have any specific response from the committee, and we don't have any specific information where they've had an opportunity to review this particular document. How much time have they been given?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
The committee would not normally be given an opportunity to respond even at the ADRM stage. And so they were not given an opportunity to respond now, but they would not be normally given such an opportunity.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, let's take people in order. Ms. Brown?
Oh, please, I'll defer to Rakita, although I'm sure we were going to say the same thing.
Ms. Morcombe? Let's make some Thank effort you. To use last names in an open meeting of a federal commission.
My apologies, Commissioner.
No worries. It's a friendly habit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we did provide the committee with this document as soon as we realized it will be made blue so that they had an opportunity to see it. We have not heard any response from the committee on this document.
And when did we provide that to them?
Mr. Chairman?
Please go ahead, Ms. Walker.
If I may, Mr. Krogan, are you able to provide that? Exact date. I do believe it was sometime last week, but we can look up that exact date for you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Weintraub, while we're waiting for Mr. Krogan.
I'll defer to audit, but I'm pretty sure the topic of excessive contributions was discussed with the Braun Committee during the course of the audit, was it not?
Mr. Chairman.
Like on record. Go ahead, Ms. Markham.
Yes, it was discussed with them. And also, I have the date. We sent the document to the committee on Friday, June 3rd at 7:19 a.m.
A follow-up, if I may. I understand the excessive contribution finding was obviously discussed. Was this particular breakdown in light of the Cruz litigation discussed? My memory is the position of audit was that the litigation was irrelevant. Go ahead.
No, we did not discuss the exact breakdown that's in this document, but it's the same process of the documents that we looked at, the same approach of determining the excessive amount. So the 898,000 number was there, that was there presented at the ADRM stage. And this just breaks down to reduce that amount. So the concept was there, the finding was there. Now the committee has this particular breakdown.
Just be sure I'm clear. This particular breakdown was not presented as part of the earlier audit process. And the first notice that the committee received of this document was last Friday.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
That is correct, sir. Friday was when they saw this particular document, but it's all the same information with the exception of the amount being reduced.
Except not the specific breakdown that's present on this document, right?
Mr. Chairman, with this amount of 732, that is correct. So the ADRM did not include the $732,000.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Trainer.
So with the previous finding that we excluded, what was the committee's response to that particular finding then, if we're relying upon the fact that they previously responded?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Ms. Workham.
So the committee for the assessor find, what we had as the assessor finding, which is not an issue, at the time the committee did provide some documentation, but the committee did state that the previous treasurer did not properly follow procedures in sending out the letters that were needed. When the newer treasurer came aboard in 2019, the committee stated that treasurer did start sending out some of the forms. So that was the explanation provided, which is also, of course, in the ADRM.
Thank you.
Colleagues, further questions? I have one. It's a general question to probably the Office of General Counsel, but expertise can answer. I take Commissioner Weintraub's point that this is an unusual situation, and I accept that the Office of General Counsel has informed us that with four votes, we can do what we wish, which is pretty constant advice around here. My question is, where in Directive 70, which is supposed to govern this process, is it anticipated or contemplated that the commission will resurrect a finding at this stage in our process? I read it last night and I didn't see it, but maybe someone can point me to it.
Mr. Chairman?
Please, Ms. Selnikoff.
I do not believe that Directive 70 goes into that level of detail. There are a lot of aspects of more unusual audit processes that are not specifically covered in Directive 70, but that Directive 70 in operation with other directives regarding the four vote that you just mentioned would be how the less typical audit might proceed.
Yeah, and I respect the fact this is a less typical audit, which is an excellent turn of phrase. I mean, here's at least what I saw in Directive 70. And to preview, I understand that we may, by four votes to the commission, disregard our procedures, but I'm unlikely to do so, especially given the notice point that Commissioner Trainor has already pointed out. But at the bottom of page 3 of Directive 70, it notes that we take a vote on the BFAR, which I believe we've done. And then there is the draft that is circulated consistent with the vote of the commission. I'm quoting there from the directive. So it seems to me we've taken a vote that we have something that's been sent around consistent with the vote of the commission. It does not include this. I don't want to characterize it, that's somewhat unfair to the argument, but it doesn't include this unusual procedure. And accordingly, it doesn't seem to me contemplated or really consistent with principles of due process and notice, or frankly, the commission having enough time to consider an unusual maneuver, given just along with the Directive 70 itself. So again, if someone wants to point me to something in our procedures and directive that contemplates this, I'm open to it. But if it's a back of the envelope, somewhat last minute effort to take a position that was not suggested during the audit, where again, the position, as I recall, was that the stay of the regulation by a federal district court was irrelevant. I'm open to granular argument on that point.
Mr. Chairman?
Please, Ms. Selnikoff.
I would suggest that Directive 70 at the bottom of page 4 that addresses approval of the final audit report, which is what will happen if the, you know, what we're trying to get to today, that if it says that if the PFAR is approved by tally, then it will be made into the FAR, but if not, it will be placed on an agenda. And I think that although Directive 70 does not specify that the commission's normal rules in its conduct of open meetings on for such agenda items applies, I would argue that it's inherent within that language that they do. And so I think that because there must be a vote at that point, once it does not pass on tally, that the normal process involved, including amendments, would be appropriate.
Fair enough. I read it as preserving the commission's prerogatives and creating the somewhat unusual fact that we have to do this in an open meeting, although I'm sure the public is entranced by this discussion. So I take your point that it provides for an opportunity for commission review, but I don't see in this language an anticipation that a previous vote to move something to the additional issues, which is all we're talking about here, would be resurrected. I understand we have that power. I'm just not seeing it anticipated in the directive. Mr. Calvert?
Mr. Chairman, I'd add, I think in a way you and Ms. Selenkoff are both right. It was not anticipated, I think, at the time of Directive 70. Directive 70 was a 12th floor, then 9th floor product. So I have limited insight into exactly what was anticipated, but I think it was anticipated pretty clear. It was anticipated in the ordinary course, the commission would make its substantive findings at the ADRM stage, and PFAR would then follow on as incorporating the decisions made at ADRM. Having said that, I agree completely with Ms. Selenkoff that the directive does provide that the PFAR, if objected to, comes on the agenda, and because it doesn't say that you must then take an up or down vote. It's not as detailed as what happens, what the options are as Directive 70 is at the ADRM stage, but I read that as basically defaulting to the general parliamentary rule that it's a document before the commission is open to amendment.
I appreciate that, sir. And to be clear, I don't think that any such motion would be out of order. I just believe it is unwise on the merits. Pausing for further discussion among my clients or questions. Sorry, clients, colleagues. Old Freudian slip. Are there any motions? Is there one that was previewed? Commissioner Weintraub?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'll just say in support of the motion that during the audit, the auditors, I believe, discussed with the committee more excessives than this, about a little bit under 200,000 were taken off the table by the Cruz decision. But the bulk of these excessives were never affected by the Cruz decision. So I don't think that the committee would be surprised to discover that these excesses were out there. Their response seems to have been that their treasurer was sloppy. That happens, but we're still looking at over $700,000 in excessive contributions that it seems like the commission is prepared to ignore. And I would urge us not to do that. Having said that, I will now move regarding the audit of Mike Braun for Indiana, A19-02. I move that the commission find that the committee received $732,429 in excessive contributions from individuals as detailed by the audit division in agenda document 22-23-A, and that finding be included in the commission's final audit report.
Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion of the motion, Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Commissioner Weintraub, for the motion. I will be supporting the motion, but I wanted to draw our attention to the PFAR because I think there's a page 26 of it that kind of gives us already the indication that this committee is aware that we will need to address the outstanding funds. And I'm reading from it, but it's page 26 in the PFAR. MDFI also stated, to the extent that the facts and conclusions in finding 5 relate to the $250,000 loan repayment limit found in Section 403 of the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act of 2002, BCRA, and 28 U.S.C. Section 2884 of the committee's acceptance of debt retirement contributions, the audit division should amend this finding in light of a recent decision of the federal court regarding the constitutionality validity
of the provisions of law on which the audit division is relying on. So this is essentially the committee acknowledging that the cruise decision has impacted on of the $250,000 portion, but they acknowledge that there is a remaining funds in the bed that should be amended. This is the effort that Commissioner Weintraub put before.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further discussion of the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Traynor.
So Mr. Chairman, I won't be supporting the motion. And the reason why is I think that when the commission decides to take a unique step, I think we have to be particularly careful about what level of due process we give the individual participants in front of the commission. Here we have a last minute motion to resurrect something that the commission's already voted on. The audit division put this thing out, gave this to the respondents in this particular case on June the 3rd. And here we are a few days later voting on it. And we were told that we didn't get any response from the committee. I don't even know that the committee knows that they could get it, give a response. My sense is that they received it and they don't have any idea that they could in fact respond to it. And now for us to rely upon comments that were made to a previous document with different numbers and to squint and glean and pull information out to say, well, they've already responded to this, let's move forward, I don't think is the appropriate level of consideration that we should give to the respondents. And therefore, I won't be supporting the motion.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Directive 70 is available on the agency's website and does not say anything that precludes a committee from taking the initiative to submit something. Do we have any reason from our audit staff to indicate that they told the committee that we don't want to hear from them anymore? In the past, we've had committees take that own initiative on their own. We don't have to tell them they can do it.
That was a question. We would like to take it.
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Brown.
We don't have any such indication from the committee.
Let me ask the follow-up. Was there any communication at all aside from simply sending the document? Did we hear back? Were there conversations?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I don't believe that we heard back from the committee, but I would like to confirm that with Ms. Markham.
Mr. Chairman?
Ms. Markham?
No, we have not. And each time we communicate with the committee, when the PFAR or any other reports are going to go on a public record, we reach out, we inform the committee, we follow up if we don't hear back from the committee, as happened in this case, when we informed the committee that the PFAR was going to be on the last agenda, and we followed up the next day to make sure they did receive it and they did acknowledge it. So we do have an open communication with the committee. If we don't hear anything, we follow up the committee, and in this case, we after we sent the document, there was no further communication.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Sort of a general point. I will not be supporting the motion for largely the procedural reasons I've already given. But procedural errors or infirmities have substantive results. And one of the results here is that, this argument was first presented live at an open meeting where we adopted the position that we're being asked to unwind today. This document has not been public long. And I will say, honestly, we are being asked to make a finding of excess contributions down to the single dollar amount based on statistical sampling with a fairly large range in the confidence interval that I haven't had a chance to properly vet. And I am uncomfortable, partially because of the timing, partially because of the response points that Commissioner Traynor has made, and partially because I don't have good visibility on how we have decided to redo our statistical sampling in this matter. And I'm therefore very uncomfortable voting for such a granular finding, especially given Commissioner Weintraub's interpretation of that finding. So for those reasons, I think this is a lamentable situation in that if there had been an earlier effort to engage with the fact that our regulation had been enjoined, we may be having a different different conversation, but we're not. Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There seems some reticence to because of the possibility of lack of time. Do we have additional time? I'm more than happy to make a request to hold it over so that we can get the opportunity to walk through these numbers if there is interest.
I appreciate the invitation, but I think that should have been done at the IIR stage. Any further discussion? Mr. Weintraub.
Mr. Chairman, I want to point out that in the document that that audit provided and that I made blue, there is $380,900 in excessive contributions that are not a matter of sampling, that the audit division actually documented that amount. They laid eyes on that amount of excessive contributions. So I guess my question is, if your concern is with sampling, which the commission has used in its audit procedures for decades, but if you are now concerned about what the commission has been doing for decades in the sampling arena, what about the $380,900 in that we absolutely know is it's not a matter of sampling? The audit division has seen those excessives and analyzed the underlying data. So, I'm going to ask for a vote on my motion anyway. But if that fails, would there be any interest in moving forward on the $380,900, or is the sampling issue just a red herring?
Well, it's certainly not a red herring, though I appreciate the usual kindness to colleagues and the suggestion. My objection is very simple. It's that there is a process for this. That process should have taken account of a binding, unstayed order of a district court. It didn't. And these arguments are being made live at open meetings rather than being properly routed. And it is unfair to respondents to do this live at the table like this. This isn't the way, in my view, a federal agency should be handling matters that, from certain perspectives, are multi-hundred-thousand-dollar violations. I am bothered by the cavalier approach to what is being portrayed as a serious problem. If it's a serious problem, it should be addressed seriously. And this isn't that. Mr. Trainer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would echo those concerns. We were told at the previous open meeting about this particular issue when the discussion came up about the unstayed order that the impact of the regulation was irrelevant to the outcome of this particular audit. And now it seems that it's very relevant to this particular audit. So much so that we're backing out the $250,000 and now we're trying to figure out what the right number is associated with it. I think what was at the previous hearing on this, when we discussed the unstayed order, it was an open invitation to discuss what the right number might be and what the appropriate direction we should go is. And I agree wholeheartedly with the chairman that we can't now do this at the table and just say, okay, you don't agree with this number, let's come up with a different number. I don't think that that's an appropriate process. And I think it's unfortunate that we're even having this discussion when we could have done a very detailed analysis prior to this.
Mr. Weintraub?
Sorry, I'm doing this on my phone and it's not always easy to find the unmute button.
Well done there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This issue was generally raised at the earlier discussion. And by the way, people keep calling them respondents. They're not respondents. They're a committee that's been audited. There's no enforcement action here under discussion. This is an audit. this issue that there was included within the recommended excessive contribution amount. Some of the amount was affected by, would potentially be affected by the cruise litigation, but some wouldn't. That issue was discussed at the earlier juncture, and my colleagues were really uninterested in parsing it out. That was, the fact that there was still a lot of money that would be left excessive even after the cruise litigation. I didn't have the exact numbers at the time. The audit division had an estimate, and I respect that my colleagues didn't want to work off of an estimate, but this to suggest that this has never been raised before and this is some last minute issue that nobody has had a chance to think about, I think that is not accurate.
Thank you. Further discussion? All in favor of Commissioner Weintraub's motion?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
The motion fails with 3 in favor, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Weintraub and Commissioner Broussard, and 3 opposed, Commissioner Traynor, Commissioner Cooksey, and myself. Are there additional motions? Commissioner Weintraub?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm having a little technical difficulty here. Hang on. Mr. Chairman, I would like this the discussion that we have just had to be reflected in the additional issues section of the audit. I suggest that this could be accomplished by at the end of part 5, additional issues, issue 1. We could add an additional paragraph that would read, on June 8th, 2022, the commission considered a motion to include a finding that the committee received $732,429 in excessive contributions from individuals that remained after fully taking into account the cruise decision. The commission did not approve, by the required 4 votes, this proposed finding. So I would like to make a motion to include that under additional issues.
Any discussion of the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion fails with 3 in favor, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Weintraub and Commissioner Broussard, and 3 opposed, myself, Commissioner Traynor and Commissioner Cooksey. Further motions?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Traynor.
I would move to adopt audit's recommendations.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all very much. Mr. Staff Director, are there any administrative matters requiring the commission's attention this morning?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Thank you very much, sir. This meeting is adjourned.